morning.
Good morning.
I just had to scribble down a few notes. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. We're so happy to see all of you here today on this brisk morning, this Christ the King or Reign of Christ Sunday morning. I have a couple of announcements for you. But before we do that, I would love to get my undying gratitude and many thanks, a round of applause for all of the deacons who worked so hard to create a lovely and delicious space for fellowship following Thanksgiving Eve service on Wednesday. So it was a lot of work, and I'm overwhelmed by the dedication of the folks in this church, and I'm speechless. I'm just blown away. You all are amazing folks. So. So a couple of other announcements. There will be a nominating committee meeting after worship today in the library. We're going to hang the greens on Wednesday at 10 a.m. If you would like to participate in helping to decorate the church for Christmas and Advent, come on down 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning, and we will be decking the halls. That being said, next week is the first week of Advent, and the last time that I looked at the sign-up sheet for the candle lighting, there was no one signed up for next week Advent candle lighting. So please go back and to the sign-up and sign up to light some candles for Advent. Please don't make me do it. Yeah.
Yesterday at our choir practice, we decided if the choir did the reading, mm-hmm. we needed somebody to actually light the candles.
Okay, if you are shy about reading in front of people, choir can read, and then but we need somebody to light the candle at the very least. So, thank you. And while you're back there, there's also the poinsettia orders are being taken now. So you can sign up for some poinsettias. And that would be fantastic. And have a nice full chancel full of color. It would be great. Any other announcements? Anything else that I'm missing? Yeah.
The deacons will be putting up their Christmas tree today after church. The angels will be on it for next week. And we have 15 people, so altogether we have 30 angels on the tree.
Sweet. The deacons are going to be putting up the angel tree after worship today. We have 15 children and teens that to get gifts for. So that means that there's going to be 30 angels. So those will be ready for you next week. So be prepared to run at the tree and pick out the names. Okay? Anything else? Am I missing anything else? All right. With that, let us ground ourselves and prepare to proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is she who made us, and we are hers. We are God's people, the sheep of her pasture. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to God. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. Her steadfast love endures forever. God's faithfulness is from generation to generation. Let us worship God. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, O Worship the King. Thus says the Lord our God, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out the scattered sheep, so I will seek my people. Trusting that God is indeed seeking us, let us confess our sin together. Shepherding God, you have called to us, but we have not answered. You have sought us out, but we have continued to wander. You have tenderly gathered us together and cared for us, but we have not extended that same care and mercy to others. Forgive us, remind us, teach us, set us free from the sin that we might turn towards your love and justice for the whole world. Guide us so that tentative step after tentative step, we may walk your way. Amen. Thus says the Lord our God, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. The relentless grace of Jesus Christ always finds and forgives us. Thanks be to our ever-seeking God. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. That would have been perfect on Wednesday. It was still perfect today. Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and for one another. Please pray with me. God, our judge and our redeemer, we give you thanks this day for the ways you have blessed our lives with abundance, for feasts and gatherings with family and friends, for traveling mercies over this holiday weekend, for days off from school and work, for warm homes, warm smiles, and warm hearts. Christ, our teacher and our companion, we lift up to you those people and places in our world who are suffering this morning. For creation, groaning under the weight of a changing climate. For people living in places of war and violence, especially Ukraine, Israel, and Gaza. For people who are hungry, thirsty, homeless, in prison, or in immigration detention centers. For all who have spent Thanksgiving sick, grieving, or lonely. We especially pray for Tweety, AJ and Suzanne's daughter, who's going to be having surgery for a kidney stone removal on the 30th. For Mike Love and his family, who found out early this morning that his mom passed away. Prayers for comfort during this difficult time. And death is always hard, but it's especially hard during the holidays, and even more so when it's your mom. We also pray for Paul Palmer, Roy Weckerly's old coach, who had a stroke in September and is recovering at home. Holy Spirit, our comforter and our provoker, empower us to work towards your saving purposes in this world, to feed, clothe, and welcome people who lack life's basic necessities, to embrace the ones our world calls untouchable, to lift our voices in the public square for those whose voices are disregarded and silenced, and to pursue justice and peace in our personal relationships, our communities, and the whole of your world. God, we lift up to you all of these and many more thanksgivings and petitions that are spilling out of our hearts this morning as we pray the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. be seated. Jesus calls us to reach out and care for our neighbors in need. One way we do that together as the church, the corporate body of Christ. Let us offer our gifts to God for God's work in our community. Generous God, we bless your name because you have called us and claimed us and sent us into the world to do your will. Receive now this offering, both of our money and our lives. Through these gifts, may the hungry be fed, the thirsty quenched, the naked clothed, and the stranger welcomed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture today is from Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16, and 20 through 24. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them. So will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you shove with flanks and shoulders, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be
be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is a reading of God's word.
Please pray with me. Holy God, open up your word. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that our eyes may be enlightened, and we know the hope to which we have been called. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Here we are, at the end of ordinary time. This is the last Sunday of the liturgical year, and before we start the new year, we celebrate the kingship of Christ. And some of my clergy friends have decided to change up the lectionary this year. Because Christmas Eve is on a Sunday, they prefer to celebrate fully each Sunday in Advent. But really, they don't want to have two services on Christmas Eve. And the ones that decided to make this change are saying that, well, you know, we preach about Christ as King every week, so skipping it this year shouldn't make too much of a difference. And this conversation got me thinking, like, do I preach about the kingship of Christ? I mean, I'm sure that I've used the word king and the term God's kingdom often, but I don't know that I have intentionally talked about Christ as our king. Almost certainly not every single week. But it is always in the back of my head, and my understanding of Jesus as King is a large part of why I'm here every week. I also want to make a little caveat that there's a lot to this theologically, and I'm hoping that I'm not stumbling over things or taking for granted that you know everything that I'm talking about. It's kind of complicated stuff. And we could, as my friends have said, talk about it every single week. But I welcome your questions and your confusion. Anything, really. But seeing Jesus as a king it seems a little out of place. And I don't know about you, but when I hear about a king, I picture a big, opulent throne, gilded in gold, big tufts of cushions that are covered in red velvet. The king is wearing a crown filled with large and rare jewels, a flowing cape lined with exotic furs, and just wearing diamond-encrusted jewelry. The king just drips with opulence, luxury, wealth. And that's not how we normally picture Jesus. I don't know, maybe you do. But I've never seen Jesus depicted like that. Most of the artists' representations that I've seen have had Jesus wearing just like a simple white or beige tunic, well-worn leather sandals, maybe a sash or a belt, possibly holding a walking stick, sometimes with a crown, but still always in these very modest clothes. And granted, we don't know what Jesus actually looked like or what he actually wore, but he preached simplicity. We think of Jesus, or at the very least, we picture him as more of a shepherd, cuddling sheep, guiding them from one lush grazing land to the next, making stops at streams for that cool, fresh water, providing for their needs. There is one thing that we forget about shepherds, though. They're also protectors. They're fierce protectors. There were all sorts of predators out there looking for a tasty, woolly snack. Wolves, large cats, hyenas, and don't forget about other people. So shepherds had a bit of a, we could say that they had a bit of a reputation. They carried weapons with them. Swords, knives, slingshots, clubs. These sheep aren't just cute and cuddly, they're also a very important source of food and money for the shepherds. Rarely were they tending their own flocks. They were often hired hands, and they would have to compensate the owners when one sheep went missing. The other thing to keep in mind about shepherds is that they didn't really have the best hygiene practices. They spent a lot of their time leading sheep on foot. They were outdoors, weeks at a time, months at a time. I don't know if you've ever been backpacking or camping. You know, you don't come back smelling your freshest. Even after a short two-day car camping trip, I find dirt in crevices that I didn't know that I had. So a king and a shepherd seem like two diametrically opposed careers. It's highly unlikely that the two would ever be in the same place at the same time, let alone be the same person. Yet Christ is both. Jesus is our Shepherd King. When Ezekiel is writing this passage, he and other religious leaders are exiled in Babylon. And for the first 32 chapters of Ezekiel, he pronounced judgment and punishment of the people because of their sin and the injustices that they committed towards their own people. And just before this passage, they get news that back home, Jerusalem has fallen. The temple is destroyed. Everything the people knew and believed was flipped on its head. Their fundamental theological beliefs and their political assertions were called into question. Primarily that God had chosen the Israelite people and given them their land, that God made an eternal covenant with David for hereditary kingship, that God would protect Jerusalem and the temple at all costs forever. It's at this point that Ezekiel provides words of comfort and hope to the exiles who are experiencing this powerlessness and despair. He uses that oft-used metaphor of God as the shepherd. The Israelites were just as familiar with Psalm 23 as we are. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Ezekiel tells the people of that the shepherd God will not withdraw from the sheep, but will actively search them out and gather them all in together. In the ancient Near East, kings and leaders were expected to tend to those most vulnerable to abuse. The widows, the orphans, the poor, infirmed, displaced. And Ezekiel charges that Israel's past leaders have neglected their responsibilities. The Israelite leadership did not care for the weak. They neglected the vulnerable. They didn't heal the sick or bind up the injured. And worse than that, they ruled with force and harshness, driving away the helpless. In contrast, God, the Good Shepherd, seeks the lost, binds up the injured, heals the sick, and includes even the weakest members. The Good Shepherd is going to sort through the fat and the lean sheep and address this bullying. And at the same time, God shows the Davidic dynasty hasn't been forgotten. In verse 23, he says, I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. And this Davidic king will reunite the people, feed the people, rule with justice, just as King David did. What God seeks then and now is to reconcile all of humanity and to reestablish that divine human connection, that relationship that results in redemption and salvation. And God promises to restore divinely ordained leadership through the lineage of David. And wouldn't you know it, in the first chapter of Matthew, we are given Jesus' family tree. And that family tree begins with David. Jesus is the king and the shepherd. Jesus cares for the wounded, finds the lost, nurtures those who have been left behind. He determines which sheep are fat and which are lean in order to provide more nourishment to those with fewer opportunities and to hold accountable those forcibly taking more than they need. It sounds a little odd, but I can't think of a better king than a humble shepherd. A shepherd that cares for the least, the last, and the lost. A shepherd in general has compassion and love to the point of sacrifice. And that's exactly the type of king that our God turns out to be. And our response to that king is to do the same. Go outside of our comfort zones, get dirty, sleep with the sheep, carry them to safety, bind up their wounds, and make sure that they have enough to eat. There are plenty of sheep outside these walls, and those sheep need tending. And it's difficult things to do, but our Shepherd King provides us with all of the strength, the compassion, and most importantly, the love to gather others in the same way that we have been gathered. Thanks and praise to our Shepherd King. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, My Shepherd Will Supply My Need. Before we head out into the world, let me offer a charge and a benediction. Friends, go forth from this place and seek the face of Christ. Seek Christ's face in every person you meet. The least, the greatest, the remarkable, the ordinary, the sacred, and the profane. Seek Christ's face outside yourselves, outside these walls, outside your daily routines. Seek Christ's face in the people who are vulnerable. Trust that when they look into your eyes, they too will see Christ's face looking back. So may the God who seeks the lost keep you. May God who brings back the wandering heart uphold you. May God who binds up the injured heal you. And may God who strengthens the weak empower you now and forever. Amen.